Jazz Podcast. In conversation with musicians from the UK jazz scene. And now your hosts, Rob Cope and Dan Farrant.
Hello and welcome to the Jazz Podcast.
Hi, Rob.
Oh, dear.
How are you feeling today, Dan?
Oh, man, I've lost my voice, Rob.
Oh, it's going.
It's going. It's been gone since last week and I can't get it back.
Have you been able to do any gigs or anything?
Well, I think that's the problem, is I keep having to do gigs.
Okay. And shouting.
Get a chance to recover properly.
There should be a fund for, like, a self-employed illness fund to allow people to actually get better.
Yeah.
Because, actually, you know what, Dan? Of all the stupid things I've ever said, that's a really good idea.
Why don't you start it for me, Rob?
Yeah, I will. If we could get, like, a doctor's note, either a government grant or some kind of self-employment
funding.
Kickstarter. Oh, do you know what? Of all the Kickstarters I've seen, this is great. This is going to be amazing. And then we can decide on the show, we can have guests on who are ill and interview them, and then we can decide whether to fund them to get better or not.
Fund them some Barocca.
Yeah, exactly. This is going to be great.
Nice.
So today is episode 33. But before we get to Sophie, there's some men outside my window, like, repairing the roof of the building. So there might be some weird noises now and then. Looks like they're about
People are used to that, Rob, with you being the host.
Yeah, that's very true, actually. So we can move swiftly on to the news that I've done my back in.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
What happened, Rob?
I just woke up one day, and then obviously my age, the ripe old age of 29, caught up with me. And as I tried to get out of bed, it just went. Something, I mean, I shouldn't complain to you about this, actually, because you've had a...
Well, I know your pain, Rob. I know your pain.
Yeah, it's I'm going to go to a chiropractor and see if they can sort it out.
What sort of thing is it?
I don't know, some kind of lower back situation. Mm. But I tried running this morning because I've just been annoyed at how little I've done. So so if at any point it suddenly goes quiet, then it's seized up and I'm dead.
Well, no. You're not going to be dead.
No,
you
okay.
In some serious pain. But don't worry, the listeners.
The first two applicants for the music for the self-employed illness fund is going to be me and you.
I think the first and only.
Speaking of first and only, luckily nobody entered the last competition we did. But the prize was my Jazz Podcast T-shirt, so I'm really pleased to have held on to it.
Oh no!
And I'm not mentioning it again because I want that T-shirt.
Oh, dear.
So yeah, don't go back.
Do you think that's a reflection on the show or on the prize offered?
I think, frankly, if I may be serious, it's a reflection on the prize, because we have an alarmingly high listenership for a no budget podcast. So yeah, it seems like my T-shirt maybe just isn't luring people in. Even
is it a new t-shirt or is it a t-shirt you've worn?
No, it's one I've been wearing for 6 or 7 months.
That might be the reason why.
Yeah, but I tell you what, Brad Meldow's seen me in it, so that adds some value. He was at the Free Stage watching a primary school play at the jazz festival.
Oh, isn't that nice?
Yeah, he stood at the back in just like a brown jacket.
Right.
Yeah, I didn't speak to him. I thought I'd be cool. And I just showed, you know, I just like rubbed the shirt in his face and walked off. so
maybe we should get Brad Meldow on the show.
Yeah, we shall. I'm still, Jason Ravello's going to come on this show if it's the last thing I do. He talks
like Nicky Isles.
Yeah, exactly. There's some people that I think. When we get to 100,000 listens or something, they might. I mean, Jason asked me. He approached me and was like, "Rob, I want to be on the Jazz Podcast."
Well, then that's great.
It's just a matter of time. That's how big this is. And while I'm thinking about the Jazz Podcast, if you could scroll down, if you're listening on an iPhone, just scroll down and hit rate or search for the Jazz Podcast and rate it. You don't even have to write a review anymore. But we've got a lot of ratings already, and it's pushing the show into the nether reaches of the internet, which is excellent news.
There you go.
So one more thing. I'm going to play you this Lydian Collective.
Lydian Collective.
Yeah, it's the band that Sophie is doing some creative. She's the drummer in this band. The new single's called Loops. And, well, it sounds like this.
Alexa, play Lydian Collective.
So that's Sophie's, that's the new single.
Great.
Which can be viewed on YouTube, amongst other things. That's the one that I distinctly remember. They have a lot of fans around the world and a lot of YouTube watches and listens. So there's some cool stuff. The Lydian Collective. It's spelt with a Y. Lydian. If you're a nerd, if you're a jazz musician, you'll be like, oh yes, Lydian. That means sharpen fourth in the scale. But if you're just listening for your own enjoyment as a normal person, then that's the deal. Spell it with a Y.
Nice.
Yeah. So, Sophie Alloway, welcome to the Jazz Podcast.
Thank you, Rob. Nice to be here.
Can't believe I've been saying your name wrong all these years.
Have you really? That's terrible.
Yeah, it is. It's shocking. Well, now I know.
Yes, you've been corrected.
I have. Not on air. I deleted it. I was too upset.
Good thing too. I wasn't rude. No. I'm just telling it like it is.
You weren't rude. So where are you at the moment?
I am currently in my hotel room in Vienna. It's slightly overcast. I'm just looking out of the window and it's freezing. But it's nice to be here.
It sounds cozy.
It is.
Yeah. Why are you in Vienna?
Well, this is an interesting one. For once, I'm not working. I'm actually indulging myself. I've come over here to see Chick Corea's new band with Steve Gadd. And it's a great lineup. And they're not playing in London or the UK. So I just decided to give myself a little break, come over here, see the band, then go back home in time for my gig on Friday.
Wow. That's
so awesome. The concert's tonight, and I'm really looking forward to it.
That's amazing. Where is it?
It's somewhere in the centre of Vienna. I don't know if it's one of their lovely concert halls, so I think it'll be a beautiful setting. Mm.
Will you do any sightseeing while you're
around? I think later today I will. It's a shame it's not very sunny today, but if I wrap up warm, because I've got a cold, I should say. I don't normally sound like this. But I'm going to go and have a look around the city centre and then go to the concert tonight. So it's great. I've seen Chick Corea so many times, but he's always pushing the boundaries. He's always got four different bands on the go. I saw him in June with the Electric Band and with the Vigil earlier. So, yeah. He's great. He's one of my absolute favourite composers and musicians.
Wow. I didn't see that coming. That's very...
Did you not?
No, I didn't. No, I know.
Okay.
But that's why we're here.
You're going to find out more about me now.
I am. I am going to. I'm very well prepared to find everything out.
Perfect.
So you're a drummer.
I am indeed. Yes, guilty as charged.
And I don't know what it'll be yet, but the listeners will have just heard something of you playing
They will have,
which,
yes.
Yeah, I'm going to go out on a limb and say that it was fantastic and I enjoyed it.
So did I. The silence was deafening.
Yeah.
No, there will be most likely a track from the Lydian Collective album,
yeah,
which is out in January.
Oh, cool. Okay, so many questions. Why did you first even start like playing a drum kit?
Well, I had been at my primary school, I had been playing a little bit of xylophone, some flute, the compulsory recorder as well.
Of course.
And it's funny, I had a proper epiphany with the drums at the age of 10 or 11. I heard "Isn't She Lovely" by Stevie Wonder. Mm-hmm. And I rushed home from school at the end of the day, and I looked in my parents' cassette drawer and in the vinyl cupboard. Yes, we had those.
Nice.
And I was looking for something by this guy, Stevie Wonder, and I found "Songs in the Key of Life" and "Inner Visions." And I became very obsessed with both of those albums. And as soon as I heard what was happening on them, I just knew that I wanted to be involved in that process somehow. Yeah. And the drums really spoke to me. Stevie Wonder's drumming on most of those. And I just thought it was incredible. And it was a real epiphany for me. And that was it at the age of 10 or 11. And I've sort of been hooked ever since.
Wow. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Where did you go to school?
My brother and I were at a very nice primary school in Southfields called St. Michael's. And funnily enough, I saw Jason Rebello a couple of weeks ago, and it transpires that he had been at the same school and he loved it as well.
Wow, how did you even get onto that subject?
Because he's playing with Dave Preston, and I know Dave from a few years ago, and apparently my name had come up as someone who was in the Southfields area as a kid, and Jason grew up around there, quite near where my parents and I lived.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how that came up. And he was there maybe a decade or so before me.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, the music department there was good, and it was great for my brother and for me to really get us started. And yeah, it just went from there. And they had little bits of drum kit dotted around, and I put them together. I don't think they had a bass drum pedal or anything, so I think I remember kicking that with my foot. But somehow I came up with this slightly unorthodox way of navigating around the drums that they did have. And then my parents decided to get me a little second-hand kit, and we went from there, really.
Sweet.
Hmm.
Secondary school.
Yes, secondary school. Mm. Interesting. So I then went to Wimbledon High in Wimbledon, which is a lovely school, very academic. Somehow I managed to get in there.
I teach some kids who go to Wimbledon High.
Do you?
Yeah, I do.
How is it these days?
She seems very happy. They seem to like it a lot.
Well, good for them.
Seems busy, like you say, academic.
It is, yeah. I mean, it's
those are the ones who are looking
school
for a drum teacher, by the way, if you are.
Okay. Thank you for that. We'll do that off air, perhaps.
Let's do it now. Let's do business.
I want to talk about me.
Yeah, no, this is your time. So, sorry. So, Wimbledon High.
So, I went to Wimbledon High, and yes, as I said, it's very academic, and that was great. Or it would have been if I hadn't decided to hit things for a living.
Yeah.
But the music department then wasn't that well formed, in my humble opinion.
Mm-hmm.
So there wasn't really much going on. So I remember doing a gig up at King's College, Wimbledon, which I've been teaching there for 10 years now. And that was fantastic because I got to play with, there were some very talented students there. I got to do one of their soul night gigs.
Yeah.
And I started having lessons with the drum teacher there, and he and I became very good friends. He used to send me home with masses of CDs, just saying, check this guy out, check Steve Gadd out. And that's how I sort of developed my taste as it is at the moment. So I'm super grateful to him.
Yeah.
And one good thing, I must say, Wimbledon High is a great school, but yeah, musically, it wasn't everything I hoped it would be. I'm sure it is now. But they had, there was a visit from Dave O'Higgins, who I think you spoke to maybe last week.
Yeah, he was on 2 weeks ago.
Not that I imagine he would have mentioned this, but and Winston Clifford and some other jazz musicians came one afternoon and they just explained a little bit about jazz. They played, I sort of put my hands up and said, I play drums. And Winston was great. He and I have remained good friends, actually, up nice. Till now. And they got me up and I played some tunes. And that was such a fantastic experience. It really opened my eyes. And from then, I kind of drifted onto the jazz scene. And someone gave me a jazz gig while I was still at school, actually, in the sixth form. So I'd occasionally, you know, have a little night out playing some drums in a pub. And then sometimes they let me turn up at school late. So yeah, that was my sixth form, and then it all got going after that.
Nice.
Yeah.
When you say got going, I, of course, am going to now start asking questions about that.
Sure.
Rather than leave it as like a kind of, you know, unsaid, but we all understand kind of.
Okay, yes, so, yes.
So what happened? Where'd you go?
Well, I didn't study anywhere, if that's what you mean, beyond my A-levels. I didn't go to music college. It was something that was discussed.
Mm-hmm. What made you decide that you didn't want to go to music college?
Well, I asked a few people, and my parents and I discussed it as well. And I was already getting some gigs when I was doing my A-levels. And we sort of said that it might be best for me to just keep going. I'd already dipped my toe in the water and the results were, you know, okay. And I just thought it might be best to just go out there, throw myself into it and see what happens. Because if I had got a year or something into being a free spirit after school and nothing was happening, well, then I'd have to look at my options again.
Yeah.
But it did start to pick up, and I think it was a good decision for me. However, I know most people do go to a college, and they have a great experience. They develop relationships, and often drummers sort of are booked with the bass player who they maybe study with, and that relationship goes on, doesn't
yeah.
it? So I didn't have that. But at the same time, you know, there's more than one way to do it, and I'm fairly happy with the way I have. So yeah, seems to be working.
Yeah, definitely. It's just super interesting because you're right. I guess the majority of maybe, yeah, a very large percentage of musicians that are working in the UK did study at or at least now, maybe not, you know, previous generations.
Well,
but
yes, I think most do. I should say there are certainly elements of my musicianship that I could have developed more by going to college. Like I'd love to have a proper understanding of harmony. I'd love to play piano. But those are things that I can address, you know, as and when.
Yeah.
And going to college, you sort of have to get that together. So that's my only slight gripe, but I made yeah. my decision and yeah, it's worked pretty well, so that's fine.
Did you ever do any other like studying? Any like did you do a degree or anything?
No, I didn't. Again, you know, my parents and I chatted mm-hmm. and we just thought, say if I went off to do, I don't know, English literature or history of art or something for 3 years, I'd be losing valuable time. And I know there are people who have done this successfully, but I just felt as I was getting a bit of work, mm-hmm. I should focus on probably what I'm best at and
yeah.
try to develop that, pay my dues a little bit, which of course I'm still doing. We do that forever as part of it. But yeah, I just wanted to get out there and I think it was good for me.
Yeah. Do you ever this is maybe a deeply inappropriate question, but
do you at this time of the morning?
Yeah, I know. I apologize. Does it change anything if you're looking for a teaching job and you've got loads of professional experience but not a degree?
I think there would definitely be situations where that would be an issue. I should say at King's College, where I teach, I actually made a point of it when I sort of went for the job. I said straight up, look, I did some Guildhall summer school courses,
yeah,
but I haven't studied. I've had private lessons with some great people, and I've been around great people. And hats off to them. That's a very academic school as well. I did the interview. I had to do a test lesson in front of them. And I think they decided, which I really admire, that the experience I had and my enthusiasm / obsession with yeah. what I do was worth quite a lot. Also, the fact that I'm out there doing it a lot. I mean, yeah. I work a lot every week. And I think that benefits my students. So, yes, it depends what you want to do, really. And if I want to do classroom music teaching,
yeah,
no.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it seems to be okay.
Yeah. It's very interesting, because now the tuition fees is a rate that most musicians will probably never get anywhere near paying off their student loan. It's really nice to talk about other ways that you can go. And be really successful about it. Like, you don't have to go to a music college and you don't have to have a degree in order to have a career.
Yeah, I mean, I do have some thoughts about that. And if you think about the annual cost of studying at a college, I know you make fantastic contacts and it's really nice to have that concentrated environment. But if you used a percentage of that money to get private lessons with, you could get private lessons with the people who teach at the colleges.
Yeah.
And really focus on what you want to do. It's just a little opinion that you can actually acquire a lot of knowledge by going to see people privately. Yeah. And then as long as you're disciplined and you work on everything at home in your own time, that's the thing. Some people without a deadline can't get it done.
Yeah.
But yes, that is an option.
Yeah. So when you left school, what were some of the like big time highlights of those early years of establishing your reputation?
Well, I don't know if I quite got to my big time highlight straight out of school, but it was a process and I'm very grateful that I went through it. So The drum chair that I got when I was doing my A-levels was as house drummer in a jazz jam session. There were other styles of music played, but essentially it was a jazz jam.
Yeah.
So I got to back a lot of people. I was studying from drum books, and Ian Thomas was being absolutely fantastic. He gave me some lessons. I was having some other drum lessons. And this was a chance to actually learn loads of standards, learn about playing with different people, especially if they come up for one or two tunes, you know, finding out what they want, hopefully doing a good job. And from that gig, I got a lot of work from people who'd passed through. I mean, Roland Perrin, the pianist, he booked me for a few things from that. Jason Lyon, we had a fantastic gig with Dee Byrne, who I think you've spoken to as well.
Indeed, yes.
Where we played, it was great. We played loads of McCoy Tyner and Kenny Garrett, Wayne Shorter, and I was able to indulge my inner Jeff Tane Watts.
That sounds great.
In my head, it was starting to emerge. I don't know if it actually did. And also from doing that gig, which on and off I did for about 7 years, the musical director of Roots Maneuver, the rapper, British rapper Roots Maneuver, he brought Rodney along. He is Mr. Maneuver.
Yeah.
To hear me.
Mr. Maneuver, that's
Mr.
great.
Mr. Maneuver. And at the time, there was a drummer playing with Roots Maneuver, but I think he sort of remembered. And then a few years later, I got the call to do that.
That's great that you just like...
2 years with him.
Wow.
And that was great, because I got to do Glastonbury and Best of All. Later with Jules Holland, I toured the UK, Australia, New Zealand with him. And I could still do all my jazz gigs and recording work and everything else as well.
Yeah.
So, yeah, all this came from that gig that I took when I was 17 years old.
That's amazing. Yeah. That's so cool.
Yeah, well, you know, I think so.
Yeah, that's fantastic. I love it. Okay, so after that tour...
Yes.
Then what happens?
Well, I mean, just around that time, there was a lot going on. I'm just thinking of... So when I got that Roots Maneuver gig, mm-hmm. I was also doing a lot of jazz gigs around town at the same time, and I was doing the rehearsals with Roots Maneuver, and I got a call to do, you know, the Thriller musical that's in the West End, Dep on that, the one round Europe. And that was quite high pressure.
Yeah.
It was a great band. Mike Mondesir was on drums. I know Mike Lindup had been doing it, although he and I didn't play together. And it was a lot of material. And I'd also just accepted the teaching job at King's College.
Yeah.
This was all happening at that time. And I had also committed to a rock band, and we were rehearsing a lot, trying to get signed. So this was from one week to the next, each of these things was going on at the same time.
Nice, that sounds messy.
So it was, I had to wear lots of different hats, and, you know, but I've always liked a range of music. I know this is a jazz podcast, but I've always played a lot of rock
and it's Sophie's podcast
hip-hop.
Today.
It is, yeah. So, yes, a lot sort of happened around that time, and it's continued to do so, which is great. So, have I ignored your original question?
No, not at all. No, I'm just trying to figure out. You've done so much, it's hard to deal with the amount of stuff you've done. No, sorry.
We can scratch the surface at least.
All right, fine. Let's keep scratching. Other than jazz, is jazz your favourite genre to be playing?
I get booked these days. I think the majority of my work is jazz-based. Now, obviously, as we know, jazz is such a broad genre, which is why when people at gigs say, oh, I don't really like jazz, and I don't want to get into it with them, but I think, well, what sort? There are so many styles, and you probably do like aspects of it without really liking the label.
Yeah.
So most of my work is jazz based, but I still play rock and a little bit of electronic stuff here and there. I think I've hung up my hip hop hat for the time being, but maybe there'll be a revival one day. I still do soul and funk, and I love my fusion as well.
Yeah.
Really like that. And the band, the Lydian Collective that I play with, is sort of an original fusion band, but with great memorable pop melodies.
Right. Because when I'm going to take some guesses here, when you say fusion to me and like Steve Gadd, what I add it all up to is like Steps Ahead, that like Mike Brecker, Mike Manieri.
I mean, I have many favorite albums, but one of my favorite live albums is Steps Smoking in the Pit, before they became Steps Ahead.
Is that in Japan?
It's in Japan, and it's Michael Brecker, and it's Don Grolnick, Mike Manieri, Eddie Gomez, Steve
Gadd.
Oh my God,
I remember discovering that when I was 18.
And
my God.
Yes,
my God.
It's really one of my favourite live recordings. I used to try and practice to that a lot. I say try and practice to it. It was just, it's overwhelmingly good.
So cool. Every track's like 20 minutes long.
I know, and then there are the alternative takes as well. It's phenomenal. So, yes, good guess with Steps.
That was when I first, I can't remember how I would have come across it, but that was the first Mike Brecker album I ever heard.
Was it?
Yeah.
Wow.
And it was heart-stopping. That was a
That's a good way to put it, yeah.
Yeah, I just didn't know the saxophone could be played like that, you know? So, like, yeah.
Well, I know. I mean, the energy and the creativity and the interplay and the compositions as well, things like yeah. Not Ethiopia.
Yeah.
Fantastic. No, I'm a big Michael Brecker fan. Huge. Mm-hmm.
Fantastic. This is good news. All right.
Yeah.
Let's keep playing this game. I'm going to try one more. Of course, they're both saxophone players. Do you ever listen to the Chris Potter album, Follow the Red Line?
Oh, that's a bit modern for me.
Ooh, Christ.
Do you know what? I'm going to make a note here. So, follow the line.
Follow the red line.
The red line.
It's in my opinion, Chris Potter's finest hour. It's my favourite jazz record. It's another one it's live at the Vanguard. Every track is 20 minutes long. They really get into it. But it's quite like pop tuney. The melodies are quite like simple. Sorry, Chris, if that's not true, but that's how it sounds.
And is it Eric Harland or someone playing?
It's his underground quartet, Nate Smith.
Oh, nice. Yes.
Oh, no, I can see their faces. Oh, no, come on,
Nate. That's all right. I'll find it. I've actually written it down. And yes, it's always good to discover new things because I can get a little set in my ways with the music that I adored when I was, say, 12 to 20 years old. I listen to that a lot still.
Yeah. Tell me what kind of things that is that you mean. What kind of albums you... Really into.
I'll tell you some artists for starters. I'm a huge Chick Corea fan, as I said. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, he's got an incredible body of work, and I feel like I could never really listen to his whole output because there are all kinds of albums that were only released in Japan or, you know, pop up on Spotify for a month and then vanish. But yeah, I'm a huge Chick Corea fan.
Yeah.
Herbie Hancock, I saw him last week. Phenomenal.
Where did you see him?
I saw him at the Barbican.
Ah, the jazz festival.
The jazz festival, mm-hmm. Yeah. So that was fantastic. I'll always try and see these people when they're in town. Or apparently I'll travel to Vienna to see Chick Corea.
That's awesome.
That's a very rare indulgence.
Yeah.
I love Stevie Wonder, Steely Dan, Chaka Khan, George Duke, Sting. There are so many. Joey Calderazzo I saw recently. Phenomenal.
Mm.
But anything that Quincy Jones has touched or produced.
I like that. That's a lot of stuff.
It is, yeah, but...
He's a classy man.
He sure is. Yes, he's someone I would love to meet one day, just in case he's listening.
Yeah, come on, Quincy. Do you know a kid called Jacob Collier?
I do, yeah. I went to see him... whenever he was at Ronnie's, he did a series of late shows.
Yeah.
It was pretty mind-blowing.
Yeah, I keep seeing pictures on Twitter of him and Quincy Jones, like, sitting on sofas together and stuff.
Quincy spotted him very early on. In fact, most of the jazz greats, I think they were all sending each other links and things. And, there's a fantastic picture I saw the other day, because I've just joined Instagram, and it's... Jacob Collier, Quincy Jones, Herbie Hancock and Chick Corea sitting on a sofa, and the three elder statesman legends are all looking up at Jacob, and it's just such a nice image.
Oh my lord.
There's so much ridiculous talent on that sofa, and also respect and admiration amongst all of them, which I think is really lovely across the generations.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good Lord, I can't cope with looking at that photo.
Well, maybe I'll send it over just for when you're ready.
Oh, wow. Do you have a favourite Chick Corea album? I know there's a lot, and I know he's very diverse.
Yes, I always feel funny answering these questions unless I've checked out every album by someone, but because when I discovered Steve Gadd, I sort of looked at which recordings he had done, and I discovered a lot of music that way. And Three Quartets from, I think it's 1981, is one of my favourite Chick Corea albums. The Leprechaun's Great has got a bit more funky fusion on it as well, but the writing's always incredible. My Spanish Heart. There are so many. I mean, even now he's putting out some fantastic records. I know they've got a new one coming out, I think, next year with this current band, the Career Gad band.
Yeah.
But yeah, probably three quartets for the writing. That's another Michael Brecker album.
Is it?
The interplay is
I haven't heard
it's really
that.
Incredible.
That's very interesting.
Check it out, three quartets. I'm not sure if it's on Spotify, but it's definitely available in the shops.
Oh, amazing. I love to play this game with each guest because I've found some absolute gems just by chatting away, you know, favourite albums and stuff.
That's the way it works, isn't it? I mean, just people you meet at gigs saying, hey, have you heard this? And sometimes it's hard to remember everything, but I do make notes, and even if I come back to it in a year's time, it's just nice to have these recommendations.
Yeah, definitely. I'm going to get to work on that. I saw Chick Corea once in a church in Norway.
Okay.
In a tiny little village called Kongsberg. I think he was like helicoptered in, you know.
Yes.
He just played some Scarlatti, like put the music on the stand. It's kind of weird.
Was this an official concert or was he just passing through in his helicopter?
It was a big time official concert. He was actually headlining the Kongsberg Jazz Festival that year with he was doing a gig, and then right after him was John Scofield.
I know,
that village like sort of exploded for about a day.
I can imagine. Almost more excitement than they can handle, probably.
Yes. More excitement than I could handle, that was for sure.
Maybe. Well, that sounds fantastic. It's nice to see these people in different contexts as well, isn't it?
That's the thing about it, Sophie, actually. You're dead right. It's the venue, and the whole thing of it was more memorable than anything actually that he played, you know, just the context of being in a little church in like a space that you wouldn't normally get to see somebody like that.
Yes, absolutely. That sounds lovely.
Yeah. And I also thought it's kind of how big time he is that you can be headlining a jazz festival and just show up with some Scarlatti and sort of do some sight reading and everyone's still going to be like, yay.
I know. Yeah. Well, it's his prerogative, isn't it?
Yeah, indeed. So this Lydian collective you speak of, tell me about it for any listeners that is hopefully someone else is as confused as I am.
Okay. Apologies for the confusion.
No, it's not your fault. It's definitely my fault.
So I was the final piece of the puzzle with the Lydian collective. So there are two composers, Aaron Wheeler, the keyboard player and pianist, and Todd Baker on guitar. They both compose, and they had known each other since college, and then they brought in Ida Hollis, who's a very fine bass player and photographer. Check her out on Instagram. Fantastic. Oh, cool. Pictures. I've got three up in my property, actually.
Wow. They call
it the Ida Hollis Gallery. And so they're great players, great writers, and they wanted a drummer. And Aaron wandered into a pub up in Crouch End. I was doing a fusion gig with Paul Carmichael's band. And, yeah, he liked what he heard, and we got in contact, and I went round to his place. He has a great studio in his house. And we played a composition that I found very challenging. But it was great. And we went from there. We did some videos. So far, the Lydian Collective has mainly put out videos on YouTube, and they get a lot of views, and we have a lot of fans in America and Japan and in different parts of the world, and a couple of fans in England too, my mum and someone else. But no, I mean, it's great. And
yeah,
so the main thing up to this point has been doing videos, and Candy Rat have put some of them out, an American label, and we've finished our album. It's ready to go out on January the 26th.
Oh, amazing.
And in the meantime, we're releasing three singles. The first one came out not even 2 weeks ago. And it's nice. It's already had 35,000 streams.
That's awesome.
In less than 2 weeks.
That absolutely trounces anything this podcast will ever achieve.
Oh, surely not. Not after this one.
Not exactly. Yeah, I'm going to, after this one, plus 10 more years of shows, and we'll be there.
I hope so. I mean, I think it's great what you're doing. Jazz is such a niche market, but the people who like it really are proper enthusiasts, and we need people like you to get the word out and also to interview local players. And by that, I mean English musicians, because yeah. there is still a lot of focus, I think, on what's happening in America. And fantastic things are happening in America, but equally, England, I mainly work in London. There are so many fantastic players. There's lots of great original music, and there are fantastic venues as well.
Yeah. You're right. We have a lot to be proud of.
We do, yes. And I think word is spreading more and more, which is great. But it's also thanks to people like you for helping to spread the word.
Well, that's very kind of you. But yeah, it's nice to have. That's the only condition of our podcast, is that the guests, they don't have to be English or British, but have some connection to what's going on musically in this yes. country. And weirdly, and hello again, beloved Japanese listeners, and thank you, and we love
Hello,
you.
Hello, Japan.
Yeah, about half of our listeners are
Hopefully
in Japan.
Hopefully see you soon with the Lydian Collective.
Ooh, is that a thing?
Well, I hope so.
That would be amazing.
Yes.
Have Watch you played in Japan space. Before?
No, but I would absolutely love to. I know they're huge supporters of jazz and fusion, and yeah, I would love to go there.
Yeah, that would be
Have
amazing.
You been?
No, never. I've been, but not to play. I love Japan. It's really something.
Well, hopefully it'll be on the cards one day. Yeah.
Yeah, you're right. I just have to get to work. Maybe a Steps Ahead tribute band. where I transcribe every single tune note for note, even like the drum parts. Like there'll be no freedom. You have to play it exactly as it's notated.
Sounds perfect.
Yeah.
Give me a call.
Yeah, exactly. Just what you've always wanted. Just looking at our top countries, actually. Mm. Japan has slid all the way to fourth, which is a bit of a shock. My God.
So is it UK first?
Yes, it hadn't been. For about 4 months, Japan has been top. But I can only see the location of every listener for the last 10 shows.
Oh, right.
But it's great fun because it's like a little world map. And because it's online, it spreads loads. I mean, at the moment, the top, how many is this? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Oh, I can see a top 10 nations. The United yeah. Kingdom, followed by the USA, Germany, Japan, Spain, Australia, Canada, Sweden, Luxembourg, and Denmark.
Really? Wow.
Yeah, and actually someone in Luxembourg wrote an absolutely wonderful tweet about this show the other day. It made my year.
Aww.
They described it as like unobtrusive editing meets under-researched absurdity. Something like that. It's absolutely wonderful.
It's not exactly what I was expecting, but I admire the honesty of you and the writer.
Yeah, that's one thing that review is. It's very honest. It's spot on.
Well, great. I mean, it's amazing these days, isn't it? The way, I'm not great with all the online stuff, but the way that we can analyse where the listeners are. And I mean, just with this Lydian Collective single that's been out for 2 weeks, Aaron, who mainly looks after the band, he's able to say that the majority of the listeners are in America, there are loads in Japan. And if you were thinking of maybe where to go and play, that would be very useful. And many years ago, it would have been hard to find those kinds of things out, wouldn't it?
Yeah. Very.
Apart from, you know, top 40 charts and things.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's amazing the tools that we have these days to try and make it a little bit easier and spread the word out as well.
Yeah, it is. It's great. I love how it's, I'm just looking at the board again in disbelief that like
yeah.
10% of our plays are in LA. Who are the, hello, you guys. I don't know who you are, but you know, it's very enjoyable.
No, it's great. I mean, that's the thing. Music is the great uniter and unifier, isn't it? It speaks to everyone, and that's what's so good about being involved in music and the lovely range of people that you meet playing and just people who come to gigs from all over the world. It's lovely. It's a great environment to be in.
You're right. And there's not... How much workplace stress is there in your life?
Workplace stress? Yeah. You mean just day to day?
Yeah, I do in life. I'm curious.
Well,
it's not a question I had written on my notebook.
No. One thing I do find a little bit stressful is just the logistics of... Mm-hmm. Getting from one thing to the other on time, being mentally prepared. So, say, I mean, I've got quite a few students who I love. I love teaching. It's a lovely thing to do. But often I'll teach 10 in a row.
Yeah.
And then I'll think, wow, okay, I have to get into town and I have to play for 3.5 hours. And then I'm doing a recording tomorrow morning. Do I have my head together for that? And the stresses are really based around that.
Right.
Rather than dealing with difficult people, that doesn't tend to happen. The people I work with are super nice. The audience members are lovely.
Yeah.
And all that is easy. But just making sure you're match fit.
Yes.
And
I love that
you're
phrase.
Well prepared, yes, for for the work that's coming up, especially if it's very varied, because there have been occasions where maybe I've overloaded myself. It's always my fault. I'm not blaming anyone else. Sometimes I don't see it coming and I'll accept loads of things thinking, yeah, I want to do that. Great. Yes, I want to work with you. And perfect. Yes, I'll be there for that gig then. It's fine. I'm working until this time in this venue and then I'll pop over. And sometimes things change and they want to extend the first gig or something happens or there's a road closed and it's just really hard to get somewhere, but generally it works out, you know, considering the plates that are spinning, it seems to be okay.
Tell us about your hobbies.
Hobbies. Mm-hmm. So at this point, I shouldn't talk about drums or music, I'm guessing.
But if that's all you do, then yes.
Well, I'm...
If that's what you want to talk about, Sophie, then we'll do it.
No, I'm going to try and be a relatively normal person and talk about something unrelated. But I struggle a little with that. I am quite intense. I work a lot, pretty much every day.
Mm-hmm.
Playing the drums. So there isn't much time to do anything else, but I like to play tennis. I just have to be careful with my wrist because it's not really a great match.
Right.
No pun intended. tennis and drumming, it's difficult.
Yeah.
Because if you acquire an injury through either thing, drumming or tennis, it's not great for the other. And the main thing is I have to be able to play in relatively little pain if possible.
Of course.
I try to go to the gym as well. Actually, I had a good gym session last night at this hotel, and because I've been working so much in the last few months, I feel I've got a little out of shape. So I'm trying to redress that at the moment and make sure my diet's really good. So really just a little bit of tennis, some gym. I need to start walking more. I mean, I'm quite near Wimbledon Common. I'm near Richmond Park. And I should take advantage of that, maybe get on the bike. So thank you, you've inspired me.
Oh, it's my pleasure. I forget how close we live. That
yes.
Yeah,
where are you?
I live in Sunbury on Thames.
Okay. Yes, I know that.
All my work's in Wimbledon. So
is it?
Yeah.
Oh, you should come and give me a wave or
say
hello.
I know. My schools are on Edge Hill.
Oh, right. King's is at the top of that. Yeah,
exactly. We're like 2 minutes apart. It's outrageous.
Well, yeah, I mean, I live pretty close to there.
Mm-hmm.
I wish I lived closer. Maybe a few more jazz pub gigs and all.
Yeah, do it.
I'm heading for Wimbledon Village.
That would be amazing, wouldn't it?
It would be.
Well, we should meet up and...
absolutely.
Drink tea and reminisce about how much fun it was to make this podcast.
Indeed. No, it is fun. I'm enjoying it.
Oh, I'm glad. Before we go, is there anything that I haven't asked you that you would really like to talk about?
Oh,
tough
let
one.
Let me just have a little think. Well, that's tricky. I didn't know you were going to turn the tables.
Yeah, I didn't either. And then I saw the time and I was...
Okay.
It's all my fault. It's my laptop's fault because it was behaving very poorly this morning.
Oh, I see. Yes. And you've got various appointments and things. No, I mean, I'm hoping... So we're just coming up to the end of this year and I've got lots of work going on up to that point. And then... next year, I think there's some exciting stuff coming up. I hope so. And yeah. I've got some more recording work with different people, finishing off another album and hopefully promoting the albums that are coming out.
Yeah.
There'll be some work around that. And then going in and doing some more recording for different people, more videos and yeah. It just all continues.
That sounds great. We're going to keep a keen eye out for anything.
Great.
And these Lydian Collective singles as well that are coming out on YouTube.
The videos have been out on YouTube for 3 or 4 years. They're still there if anyone wants to check them out.
Yeah.
But there are, so the album is complete and there are 3 singles being released from the album on iTunes, Spotify, in the run-up to the 26th of January, when they'll all be released.
Oh, amazing.
And we're doing, we're doing a special Christmas arrangement video as well.
Excellent.
Which will be out. We're going to do that in a week or two. So, yes, lots of good stuff coming on, and hopefully maybe doing some gigs abroad with that. And so I've just done Simon Lasky's album as well, so that was good. That was hard music. Actually, that was work-related stress. Trying to... Because I was brought in... it's a long story, but I was brought in quite close to the recording dates, basically, and I had a lot to get together, and it's challenging music. But it's come out really well. We're going to do some promotion for that. And... Alex Curtis's album, we're finishing that. I'm doing Wildcard's 4th album. It's the 3rd one I've done in a couple of weeks. And then I think Roberto Manzin's album, that's good. He's got Jason Rebello as well.
Oh, amazing.
So all of these things are going on.
Jason asked me if he can come on the Jazz Podcast.
Oh,
that's the situation.
I don't know.
Yeah, I know. That's why I've not made the show yet because I'm just not sure he's the right kind of guy, you know?
I think it requires a little more careful consideration.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to go
away.
Well,
that would be fantastic. I'd love to hear that.
It's amazing. That's how big
time
we are.
What a lovely man. What an amazing career, because I'm a huge Sting fan as well.
Yes.
And I love Jeff Beck.
Yeah.
And I love the fact that he's been able to... He's a great solo artist, fantastic sideman. And yeah. He's just, I saw him play a couple of weeks ago at the 606, and he's always mind blowing in any situation.
Yeah. He really is.
And yeah, I've been lucky to play with him, and hopefully this Roberto Manzin album will happen with him next year because that would be pretty great to record with him.
Yeah, that'd be so cool. Well, maybe I'll let him on the show on the condition that he has to make a record with you.
Oh, no, don't say that. He might run a mile.
No, he doesn't need that as an incentive. I can't believe how busy you are, Sophie. It's a marvel. It's a marvel to try and keep track of.
I'm very grateful. I hope it'll continue. I need to make a little more effort to practice and just the maintenance practice as well as developing. It's difficult when the diary's a little bit crammed full of gigs and things. But yes, I'm working on it. I'm going to get my garage converted soon.
Oh,
so
amazing.
I have a little practice space. So yeah, hopefully I'm doing all the right things.
That sounds awesome.
Yeah.
Such a good idea. Well, thank you so much for coming on the Jazz Podcast.
Oh, thanks, Rob. I really enjoyed it. Nice to chat. And hopefully see you soon in Wimbledon or anywhere
else. I'm going to come round and see your garage. That's my plan.
Well, don't at the moment. It's full of rubbish from when I moved in.
Okay, I won't come round and I won't see your garage.
No, do when I have my beautiful drum practice room. You're very welcome.
Yes,
to come
that'd be then. So good. I'd
just
love
give
to
me
do
a
that.
Bit of time to get the hammer and nails out.
Yeah,
and,
that's
put
good.
It together.
I'll do some practice as well.
Well, I think I need to. In fact, I'm going to get my drumsticks out after this. I'm going to stay in the hotel room and I'm going to practice a little bit. How's that?
That's incredible. I'm very impressed. Good. Right, well, enjoy the gig tonight.
Oh, yeah, right. I will. Thank you. Mm-hmm. And, yes, good luck with the rest of the podcast. I'll definitely be listening in.
I know there's
a big backlog of other artists that you've interviewed that I need to listen to, so...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, keep up the good work.
Oh, that's very kind. Thank you. And we'll speak to you soon.
Thanks so much, Rob.
Amazing. Thanks, Seraphine.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Well done.
Well.
Indeed. Next week's show is Finny Bierman, which will be awesome. Tom Corley fixed this up for us very kindly. I mean, he texted me and told me that, like, this might be a good show to do.
Great.
Yeah. Fellow podcast alumni. Mm. Yeah, you see
Although
how this...
I don't know if we can really call his an episode.
Where is he?
Tom Corley. I think he'd be the first to admit that.
Tom's is really... It was a harrowing experience. I'll tell you this, Dan. 1, 2, 3, 4. He is 6th all time on our Wall of Fame. Yeah.
Wow.
So he's up there. A lot of people have listened to Tom... Basically, character assassinate me for 45 minutes. So that's something. So so we'll be back next week for Finny. That will
be next week or the week after.
Well, let's look at the diary. If today's the 7th of December, then next week will be the 14th. Then maybe it's time for a Christmas break.
Mm. Oh, here's the thing: have we changed the day the podcast comes out?
That just happened that all day Thursday I sit at home and then all day Friday I'm at school and then the show comes out and I can't even tweet about it. I realised that it was inefficient, to say the least. So, yes, so it's all about Thursday is the new Friday. Friday is the new Saturday. Saturday is the new Sunday. Mm. Everything, you know.
It's been shifted by a week.
Yeah, because of the podcast, it's changed the whole culture of the week.
Mm.
It's really something. So maybe we'll hold Finny's show, play it on the 21st of December. That seems like
Christmas
a great
episode.
Idea. Ooh, I like that idea a lot. We could listen to some great Christmas jazz and then review it.
Yeah.
By great Christmas jazz, I just mean Christmas jazz.
Right.
Yeah. I don't think there's any good stuff other than Nicky Isles' book, Jazz on a Midwinter's Nighttime. Midsummer's Eve.
Is it good?
Midwinter's
Eve, you mean?
That's something like that, yeah. I saw it this morning and I've forgotten the name. But yes, it's a little beauty. Let's just play that. Let's play the whole CD and not say a word to each other.
Great. Well,
that's how it is.
It will nearly be a year since we've decided to do the podcast.
Yeah, it will.
You know what? It was the 4th of December that we decided.
Wow!
Sunday the
4th. Yeah. Sunday the 4th.
Sunday the 4th, mate.
Crumbs!
That was a while ago.
A year and 2 days old.
We are. Well, 3 days old. This is coming out tomorrow.
Oh, yeah. This is coming out tomorrow. 3 days, of course. Oh, yes, it is the 7th of December today. Well, Dan, on that note, it's time to go. And we'll see you very soon in 1 or 2 weeks. Depends how many people want to come on the show before Christmas. But one way or another...
I doubt you'll be getting swarmed.
Still holding out hope.
Oh, dear.
Hopefully
my voice will be back by then. It might even be worse. Quite a few gigs in between.
Oh, boy. Well, good luck with the healing process. And we'll speak to you soon. I'll speak to you soon. We'll see you soon, listeners. Everyone will see everyone else very soon.
Soon. I'll be in touch.